Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Maseches Bava Metzia has been dedicated by Rabbi and Mrs. Chaim Shlomo Metz. Le'ilei Nishmas Shmar Yehu Ben Chaim.
Masechta Bava Metzia, Daf Ayin Tes. At the top of the Omud, the Gemara speaks about the case of someone who is Soicher Achamoyer and it was Nasis Angaria, which is to say, as the Gemara explains, that it was drafted by the king's men for the purpose of the king's work. This was the derech, that they would draft Yuchamoyer until it was drafted temporarily until they got to the next person, they would draft his chamur and give you back yours. So this person was a soicher, he rented the chamur. It was not his angaria, and the halacha is that the soicher is kind of stuck with that, and the masker does not have to supply him with another chamur. And the explanation is given in Rishayinim because of mazal chagoram, which is to say that the masker, the person who rented it out, could say to the soicher that your mazal was goyrim, this thing, that it was taken for the angaria, and therefore you're stuck with it, and I don't have to supply you with another one. This is certainly a chiddush. We need to understand it. What is this notion that the din depends on mazel? Whose mazel it was? It was the soicher's mazel, and therefore he's stuck with it and doesn't get another one. That itself needs a hesber. It says also, and this is before in the Mishnah and the Braisa, that's only by Nasa Zangaria, but if the Chamer would have been Mesa, the Chamer would have been died, so then the Halacha is, in fact, as the Mishnah says, that the owner who rented it out to you has to provide you with another Chamer. And apparently over there we do not say the halacha of mazal hagoram. Over there the halacha is that he needs to get another chamur. And we'll talk a little about that, where it says in Rishayim and Achroinim on this inyan, that by Angaria, the mentor, the soicher, does not get another chamur because of mazal hagoram. And if the chamur dies, then he's entitled to get another chamur. Now another thing before we get into this is to say over what it says in the Gemara a little bit further down. The Gemara brings the memra on Rabba Bar Rav Huna Amar Rav with regard to Rabbi Rav Huna, with regard to someone who is soicher chamur, he rented the chamur lirkev aleha umeisal abachatzi haderech. So a standard case, fellow rents a chamur to ride on it, and it died halfway through. And the Gemara, in the middle of the discussion, gets into a distinction between if he rented a chamur zeh or if he rented a chamur stam. In other words, did he speak out that you're getting this particular chamur that was part of the opmach, part of the deal meyikoroi, or a chamur, a chamur stam? And the Gemara is mavur that if he said to him chamur stam at the time when the deal was made, so then chayev lahamad loy chamur acher. This is a stam line of the Gemara, an important line of the Gemara, that the Gemara says that since it was unspecified at the time the deal was made, that it was specifically this chamur that was being rented, and if it was this chamur, the chamur died. But if it was chamur stam, then if the chamur dies, you have to supply him with another one. Chayev lahamad loy chamur acher. Be'emes, the line of the Gemara is a chiddush, and the Rishonim get into this, because l'chayr you could have tainted that naniach, that it didn't specify which chamur it was that it was going to be providing you, but akapanim, you can name on the chamur that they're not going to be providing you with another chamur if the first one dies, because maybe at least I could back out at that point. In other words, they say, is there something that's mechayev me as the maskir, as the renter, to keep to the deal? Did I make some kind of kinyan meikoroi or something? Is something forcing me that I should be unable to back out at this point? In other words, zenechanami, so the first chamur died, and I said to you, chamur is number, maybe I should back out at this point. And this is an important question discussing the Rishonim, and let's start our discussion from this point. The Ran in the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Chesam Ralf, the Ran discusses the case of the Mishnah where it talks about Soicher's Chamur and its Mesa, and the Chamur dies, and the Mishnah says that Yechayev Lahamad Loi Chamur. Now, Bemis, the Mishnah does not specify, it does not speak out whether the case of the Mishnah on Ayin Ches, the Yisoicha the Chamur, is that a case of Chamur Zeh, or is it a case of Chamur Stam? And it's not before in the Mishnah. However, the Ran points out that Rashi in the Mishnah does answer this question on Ayin Ches. Rashi says, Bemes HaShver Ezach, a very difficult Rashi. Rashi says that the case over there in the Mishnah was that he actually said Chamur Zeh, and he did specify it was this Chamur that I'm renting you. And Rashi still learns into the Mishnah that if the Chamur dies, then the Maskir has to, Rashi says, he has to sell the hog, the oyer. He has to sell the carcass, the nevela, ula hoisif moy, is the key words of Rashi over there, not just the hide and the nevela, but actually, Rashi says you have to add more money, whatever it takes, lahamid loy chamur, in order to provide him with another chamur. And the Ran of Mefapel on the Rashi, and he says the Rashi held that as long as the owner is coming along with you on the trip, trip, then that's part of the obligation of the owner. Even if he had said chamer zeh, he has to do whatever it takes to provide you with another chamer, even going beyond the value of the carcass, the ur, and the nevela. The Ran says, although that's the shitas Rashi and the vur in Rashi like that, in the Mishnah in Ches, he says, sorachin to understand such a thing, why in the world would it be like that? L'chayr, he says, ainu mechover, if he said chamer zeh, then it means that your responsibility is limited to that chamer. Naniach, that if the chamer dies, we paskin and we have the sugi here, and I intest about it, rather Rav and Shmuel, so we paskin that you have to sell the carcass from the hide and provide him with another animal. That could be true, even if he said chamer zeh, but the Rashi says you have to be moisif mois in order to rent the chamer zeh. That's very difficult. And the Ran says the best that he would defend the Rashi would be to say that Rashi is wrong about the hoisif mois, but a koponim zok the Ran, but this Rashi could be right about perhaps that the Mishnah maybe is talking about chamer zeh, and it's taka talking about a case in which the hide and the nevel are expensive and they suffice to provide you with another donkey, so you're going to be chuyif to do that, and that's really like the Gemara says by us on Ayin Tes. So maybe that's what it means. You have to be provided with another chamer, meaning you sell the nevela to provide him with another chamer. However, the Ran says that such a pshat would certainly be dochuk and not mashma in the Mishnah. Hayoyif of the Mishnah is certainly mashma. You have to be provided with another chamer if the chamer dies, regardless of whether the nevela is really worth the value of another chamer. So Meila, no matter how you learn it, the Ran says it's really very shver to zetzay in this Mishnah on Ayin Ches by a chamer zeh, and if it's chamer zeh, it wouldn't really be correct with the Mishnah fiyazois that if it dies, you have to be mamed a chamer acher. So therefore, the correct pshat, the Ran says, is that the Mishnah is talking about chamer stam. Okay, that's very good. So that brings the Mishnah in line with the discussion that we started out with here on Ayin Tes, that by chamer stam, that the Gemara says a lashon, like we said, that since he didn't specify when the deal was made, that which chamer it is, so if the chamer dies, you have to provide him with another one. Zoktof dem de Ran, amir de gezach, chidish, in the Mishnah Ayin Ches, which is negeh tawasugya, and the Ayin Tes as well. The Ran says, Avada be'etzem b'yosoidoi, he says that the maskir, the guy who rented it out, could back out. There's nothing that's absolutely obligating him to stick with the deal all the way mitchilosev at soifoi, unless the Ran says, with konum yodo, you made a special kenyan, a lehedidika kenyan, at the beginning to mechayev yourself to stick with the deal the way straight through to the end, and if it is konam yodoi, then avada you'll be mechuyev achi of gomor not to back out and to provide him with another chamor if the first one dies. However, the Ran says he personally would learn the Mishnah is talking without a case of konam yodoi. He says achirim learned up the Mishnah that is talking about konam yodoi, and the achirim learned to ar beforshim, that says the arishanim, the achirim, the arishanim who learned that the Mishnah on Ayin Ches is talking about they made a special kinyan at the get go, and therefore in such a case you will mechayev yourself with a of Gomer not to back out in the middle, and if the Chomer dies, you have to provide him with another one. But I say, Zok Duran, that the correct shot of the Mishnah is there was no special kinyan, and Be'etzem Enechanami, Be'asaydoi, the Maskir, could back out. He said Chomer Estam, that's true. So therefore, his obligation really would be that the first one dies, he provides another one. But since he was never Machayev himself for the kinyan to stick with it, to stick with the program to the end, so Meila Be'asaydoi, he really could back out. So what does the Mishnah mean if the Maskir could back out? What does it mean, Taka, in the Mishnah to say that you have to imam another chamor if the first one dies? Dr. Ran, to what that means is that vibalt that be a soidoi, your obligation as a maskir by chamor stam is to provide another chamor. So if you do back out, which you could, the soiche will be able to ma'akev the dmeh haschiris, he'll withhold the rental payment in order to force you to provide another chamor. And if you don't provide another one, he won't pay you the schiris. Now that's what the Ran explains the mission means. L'chayv l'hamad l'chamor means, in other words, that be'etzem, if you don't back out as a maskir, since he said chamor stam, you have to provide another one. If you do back out, that the soiche won't pay you the dmeh haschiris, he'll withhold the dmeh haschiris because you're not providing with another chamor. The Amnei Nezer in the Tshuva in Choshen Mishpot makes two comments on this Ran's Pshat in the Mishnah and the whole Din of Chamer Estam. In other words, the Ran is learning of Chamer Estam that you have to provide him with another Chamer. You could bank out, but he won't pay you the rental money. First of all, Zok to Amnei Nezer, it's schwer to understand in Svara why in the world there should be such a Din. So if the Din is that you could back out because you're not Mechuyev with a Chuyev in Halacha to Mamshech your maskir status straight through to the end of the job, is if you could back out, then what in the world is permitting the soicher to withhold the rental payment of what he used you till now? The maisa, he had a chamer halfway through the trip, and he has to pay, he got the usage, so let him pay the rental money. What's matter him to not pay the rental money just because you're back and not finishing the job, the maisa, you have a chus and halacha to do so and to back out? That's the first question of the Avni Nezer. Second question of the Nezer, frak there, if it really would be true that even in a case where I could back out, the other guy, the other party, could ma'akev the payment money from paying it to me because I backed out, why isn't there such a din at the beginning of the Perek, you had at the beginning of Perek Vav, of Bamatzia, the famous din, of Poyel Yachal Lachza Be'afilu B'chatzi Hayoim, that a Poyel, so a worker, he's a day laborer, he hired himself out for the day, halfway through the day, noontime, he backs out, I'm good, that's it, I'm going home. So the Gemara says that a Poyel could do that, because a special drasha we discussed at the beginning of the Perek, Kili B'nei Yisrael Avodim, Avodahim V'lo Avodim L'Avodim, in other words, Hashem says the Jewish people are my slaves, and therefore the employer doesn't have a right to treat the guy like a slave, and therefore the employee could back out at any time. Okay. Why don't you find, Dr. Avinezer, which you certainly don't find, that since the poil backed out, the employer could say, Naniach, I can't force you to stay in the job to the end of the day, but if you do back out, I'm withholding your payment money, your salary from you, because of the fact that now I'm kind of stuck because you didn't finish the job. I'm withholding your salary. You don't see that B'shum Oifen and Avadi, you do have to pay the salary, and we had discussions of that in the earlier part of the Perek. If why is it different, Avni Nezer says, in the case over here, where the Maskir or the Chamer backs it halfway through, and therefore the Seicher doesn't pay the rental money because the job wasn't finished and you weren't mashlim with another Chamer? What's the difference between the cases? These are the kashas of Avni Nezer. Avni Nezer answered these kashas with the tricky teretz, which I'll try to say over, hopefully clearly and concisely. As far as the first question, what is the mechayev, what is it permits the other party, in this case the soicher, to withhold the rental payment if you don't provide me with another chamer and you back out? What is it that permits, and what's the koyach? So if dem zokta avnei nezer yesoid, he says it goes to with the din of orev. Orev is a cosigner, a guarantor. So for example, if I borrow money from you, I have an orev, so if I don't pay, you can go to the orev, the guarantor, and he pays. Now we do find actually in some sugyas that even a non-person could sometimes serve as an orev. This is something which we find in sugyas. Avnei nezer learns up with a rather tricky point. He says that actually over here it's understood. It's an understood upmach, an understood deal between the parties from the get-go that the Dmei HaSchiris, the rental payment money, is going to serve as the Orev. In other words, even though there was nothing that bound the Maskir from the get-go to force him to stick with the job to the very end, it forced him to not back out if the first Chamoritz dies by Chamoritz Dam, there's nothing forcing him to not back out. But it was understood, even though it wasn't spoken out, it was an implicit understanding between the two parties that if you do choose to back out, so the Dmei HaSchiris, the rental payment money that wasn't yet paid to you, because the renter didn't pay you any rental money yet. So that Dmei HaSchiris, that rental money, is understood by you to have been placed as a guarantor, an orev, that the job will get done. If you do back out and you don't finish the job, then you forfeit the rental payment monies, because it has a din of an orev. It's so to speak an implicit shibud on that rental money, is meshubud to see to it that it gets finished. The job gets finished, you back out, and that money is forfeit. That's the first yesod of Avnei Nezer, that the rental payment money has a din, so to speak, of an orev, which you do find to the thing that even non-animate objects could sometimes be an orev, a rather tricky yesod. And mainly, that's why you forfeit the rental payment money because it was an orev if you back out. As far as the second question of the Avnei Nezer, so why don't you say a similar thing, Vinegeya, to the payment monies of the poil? If the poil backs that halfway through, Naniach, he's allowed. That's true. But Ali, why don't you say that his salary money is also serving as an orev, and since his salary money is serving as an orev, he'll forfeit it if he backs out. Why don't you say it there? Of them, Zakt Avnei Nezer, another subtle yesoid, which we'll say over as follows. Avnei Nezer says that actually, if you think about it very, very carefully, there's a fundamental distinction between the backing out over here of our Gemara by the case of the Chamer and the backing up by the case of the Poel. And that chiluk is understood if you read very carefully Gemara Daf Yud, which we actually discussed at the beginning of the Perek, that he says like this to Avnei Nezer. The Gemara Daf Yud is mavur, that from every Poel, when he starts the job, as Eli Meshabed himself, he takes on himself an obligation to finish to the end of the day. And Beetzim he's Mechayev himself, there's a shibbut on him to finish. Novastenik kicks in a Naya Din, a Din Noisef, Exeris HaKosev, Kili B'nei Yisrael Avodim, Avodim V'lo Avodim Avodim, which is a new Din, so to speak, that allows him to break the shibbut and to back out because of Avodim V'lo Avodim Avodim. So Beetzim, the Etzim shibbut is Chal from Eikor till the end of the day. Novasten, he's Meshubut to work to the end of the day. Novasten, he's allowed to break it and back out. Over here, by the case of the Chamer Stam, it's not pshat that he's be'etzem meshubah to the end of the trip, but he could back out. Pshat is that there's nothing that's obligating the maskir, it's placing a bind or a shibud on the maskir me'ikoroi to finish this job. And in Mail, if the first Chamer dies, there's no koyach me'ikoroi that was forcing him, that was imposing on him to supply a substitute Chamer, and that's why he's backing out. In our Gemara, I never obligated myself with any, the maskir never obligated himself with any kind of a shibud haguf to be obligated to keep supplying new Chamer to the the end of the trip, but he did implicitly agree, like we said, that the rental money does have a shibud, and it's an orev, and it's an orev to see to it that the trip will be done to the very end, otherwise you forfeit the rental money. Thus, he said that the din arvus on the rental money goes beyond the obligation that's on the guf hamaski, that's on the maski himself. He personally never bound himself to finish the job and supply chamurus to the end, but he did place a din arvus on the rental money that goes beyond the obligation that's on himself, and the rental money does have that din arvus, and it's going to get forfeit if you don't finish the job to the end. Masha ing came zokta by the case of the poyel hayoyis, that the poyel placed a shibud upon his own guf to finish to the end of the day, like we said before. That was the shibud on his guf was to go to the end of the day. It happens to be there's a koyach noisef, an independent koyach that enables him to break that shibud because of exerza kosov, kili b'nei yisrael avodim, v'lei avodim l'avodim. But the etzim shibud that's mutl on the guf of the poyel is till the end of the day. So abazoi, the arvus that's on the poyel's salary is also to see to it that he'll go to the end of the day. But anyhow, he has a shibud on his own guf anyway to go to the end of the day. So in a case like that, where the arvus matches up with the shibud that's on the guf of the poyel, the arvus is not a greater obligation that's on the guf of the poyel. The arvus matches the shibud on the guf of the poyel. The poyel is personally obligated to go to the end of the day. He has a personal din, the shibud, to go to the end of the day. Plus, the arvus on the guf of the salary is also to force him to go to the end of the day. So bazoi over there, if the Torah was mechadish a new koyach from the outside, that even though you're meshubud a shibud haguf to go to the end of the day and work to the end of the day as a poyel, still you're allowed to break that because of exeris hakosiv. So there we're going to say that the arvus is not going to obligate you to go beyond your intrinsic shibud haguf heyoyis, that the arvus was originally set up in such a way that it matched precisely the shibud haguf by the case of the poyel. The poyel is personally obligated to go to the end of the day, and his arvus on his salary is also to go to the end of the day. So if you could break the one, then the other is going to get broken with mail. In other words, the arvus was never set up meikoroi that it should obligate you to go beyond that which your intrinsic shibud haguf has. It lets you break the shibud haguf, the arvus on the salary gets broken with mail, and that's why if a poyel backs out halfway through the day, he utilizes the din chorosh of b'ni b'nei yisrael avodim, l'avodim l'avodim to back out, so he personally is free to leave, and the arvus that was upon his salary is going to vanish as well, because the arvus never extended beyond that which your shibud haguf was upon you. Therefore, you get your salary up to the point that you work. Masha'inkein. Over here in our Gemara, Hayoyis has the arvus leif meikoroi set up. In other words, that the rental money on the chamur was originally set up that it has a greater obligation that obligates you more greatly above and beyond that which your personal shibud haguf has. The maskil does not have a personal shibud haguf to finish the job, the play of the chamur, but yet his rental money is meshubud to the end of the job. So therefore, since the arvus meikoroi was set up to be greater than the shibud that's on the guf of the maskir, so therefore, even if the maskir backs out, which he has the right to do, his arvus will remain intact, and therefore the arvus on the salary on the rental money will remain intact, and you're going to lose the rental money, even though you personally had the right to back out of your own shibud aguf, because the shibud aguf never obligated you to go to the end of the job. Now, let's get into a discussion of the case that we mentioned before, that the person rented the chamor, and the chamor was Nasa Angaria, so it was confiscated temporarily by the king's men. Now, Be'emes, as we mentioned before, the din is that by Nasa Angaria, the soicher is caught, left stuck with that, and he doesn't have any recourse, he doesn't get not entitled to another chamor. The Rajba speaks out that even by a case of chamor stam, where I would have expected, okay, the king's men confiscated, it was a chamor stam, so it's applying with another chamor. And Afal Pikein is mavua by Angaria, they have no recourse and don't get another one. The Rasha brings down from the Ravid that the Hezbar Hadvorim were talking Zok there in a case where, even though it was... Let us move on now to discuss an important machlokes rishonim. We learned in the Gemara, based on the Mishnah, that if a person rents an animal and he has the animal as a rented animal, and it's hivrika, which means to say it gets partially blind, or a different illness discussed by the Gemara, different opinions in the Gemara, and the halacha is that since it's still basically usable in most cases, so therefore the soicher, the renter, is stuck with that and he's not entitled to get a different chamur. On this, we have an important machlokes rishonim. The Rashba brings down the Shitas Harav. The Ravid said that this that we said that the soicher is stuck with it only means that he's stuck with it in the sense that the masker is not mechuyev to supply him with a different chamur, even by a case of chamur stam. Let's take out a moment on this, that the Ravid was learning that be'etzem, in the way he learns, like some Rishonim learn, that by every chamur stam, you absolutely have an absolute obligation on the part of the masker to supply another chamur in the eventuality that the first chamur is no longer usable, and therefore, consequently, the Pidarkoi, it ought to have followed over here, that by a case of Chamur Stam, the first Chamur is partly blinded or whatever it is, and consequently we would have said that the Masker has to supply another Chamur. And that was saying, no, it is after all partly usable, and it's basically usable even partly blind, and therefore we would obligate the Soicher to take care of it and deal with it and use it even in its partly blind form. But, Zok the Raivid, that as far as having to pay the schar of the rental, nearly, Zok the Raivid, Shaloyita Loisoi, that the masker is not entitled to elicit to the man the schar of the rental from the renter, because Eino Yochal Hishtamesh Boy Koroi, because the renter, the Soicher, is unable to use it in the proper way, the way he'd like to use it, the normal way, and therefore, as far as your obligation as a masker of a chamur stam, that l'chur you would have had to supply with another one, and that the Gemara is saying, and I'm l'chur supply with another one, because this one is basically usable, albeit with difficulty, it's partly blind. But as far as paying the rental money, I've had the nish, I'm only meant to obligate myself in rental money, only in the event that I could use it normally, and now it's partially blind, it can't be used normally, you don't pay the rental money. That's the shita of the Ravid brought in the Rashba. The Rambam says not like this, the Rambam is mavur b'feirish in the yad, that by the case of Hevrika, not only does the masker get off the hook from supplying another chamur, but even also, we would also say that the soicher is mechuyev to pay the rental money. And there is a shaila in the achronim, what exactly is the hesber of this machloikis, Rambam and Ravid, why the Rambam holds Alpidar Koi, that you have to pay the rental money, the Ravid holds that even though it's chamur is tam, you don't supply another chamur, but the rental money I'm off the hook, because adai to this, you know, according to this, for this shvacha youth, this weak youth, I never would have meant to pay any rental money. The Sefer Mishmeres Moshe over here writes that if we look in the Rishonim, Rashi on down, the Kama Rishonim, they bring down this concept called Mazol Chagoram, which is to say that the reason the masker wins this one, and he says to the Soicha, I'm not supplying you with another one, even though it's Chamur Stam, is because Mazol Chagoram, it's your Mazol. There's different Lashonis in different Rishonim. Rashi says Af Mazol Chagoram, other Rishonim say Mazol Chagoram. Whatever it is, the soicher, he has to fault his own nozzle for the fact that the chamur is not usable in the present time, it's not totally usable, it's partly blind, etc. Mazol chagoram. Of them zok the mishmer es moishe, we have a basic akira to understand what is the yisoid hadin of mazol chagoram. What is it to, what does it achieve, the fact that I'm blaming it on your mazol, you're the soicher, you're the renter, it's your mazol that made the thing presently unusable. So what do I achieve by arguing this thing about your mazol? Zok the Mishmeres Moshe is really two ways to understand it. One way to understand it is like this. Imagine for a moment that I rented you a chamur stam. I supplied you a very good, very healthy chamur, and you, the soicher, were pesher, you were terribly negligent, left it in the heat stroke or something, and it ended up died. Because of your peshia. So, Teravad, the din is poshit, that if it was your peshia, the peshia of the soicher, that caused that the chamur died, I, the masker, am not going to supply with another one. Because you're the cause of the fact that my original one is no longer around. If you caused it with your pshia, I don't have to apply it with another one. So there, some Rishonim learned up that that's what Mazol Chagoram achieves over here. It makes you the cause, the soicher, the cause of the fact that the chamur is no longer around, in exactly the same manner as if my pshia would have, the soicher's pshia would have caused that it's no longer around. It wasn't my pshia, it was my mazel. But so what? I am to blame for the fact that the chamur is no longer here. Abazoy, Zok there. The same way anybody would understand, based on simple common sense, that if I rented the chamur with a 30-day rental or whatever it was, and I'm pishaya halfway through, so now because of my pshia, chamur is no longer around to the end. Afa pikein avada, everybody would understand that the renter, the soicher, has to pay the rental money all the way to the end of the term. He doesn't say, well, it's not around to the end, therefore I'm only paying you half the rental money. He can't tie into that, because since it was your fault, your pshia, that caused that it's not around to the end, so we say that since you're the cause that it wasn't around to the end, we look upon it ki'ilu you had it the entire rental time, because you're the one who, you're the one who caused it to be cut short. So it's clear you had the entire rental time and you paid the whole rental money. The same exact way somebody shouldn't have learned up, that's the Shitas HaRambam, Zokti Mishmeres Moshe. The Rambam learned that the same is true about Pshia, is also true about Mazol Chagoram, because you, the Seicher, are the cause, the fact that it's not around to the end of the term. And since you're the cause, we have to look upon the Kilo who did finish the term, because Mitzidi, the Maskir, I consider the term to have been finished. It happens to be that as a result of something that you did to it, unwittingly in this case, because it was your Mazel, the be that as it may, you cause that it's not around to the end, so you have to pay ki'ilu or the real namish to the end of the term. The fact that it's your cause, mazolcha was the cause, when you look upon it, therefore, as if it was there to the end of the term, and you pay for the whole schiris. That's how the Rambam learnt up the din of mazolcha goram. Masha'in came derived to learn top of Mazol Chagoram that Avada Mazol Chagoram cannot achieve, that it should be as if that I was Peshaya, the Soicha was Peshaya halfway through, and thereby personally caused with his negligence that it's not around to the end. Avada wasn't a Peshaya at all, it was my Mazel, but I'm not a Peshaya at all, and consequently, there's no way, thought the Mashperis Moshe, the Ravid held, no way that we're going to look upon it, Kilo the Chamer was there straight through to the end, paying the entire rental all the way till the end. Avada not, it wasn't there to the end, it was only there halfway, I'm not going to pay the rent all the way to the end. But what Mazol Chagoram could achieve is this. Like this, I rented it out to you with Chamur Stam. And Chamur Stam, we have to, I didn't specify that in Beshast when the deal was made, that it's only specifically this Chamur that's going to be carrying you to the end. I'm hoping it'll be this Chamur, but if it dies, since I didn't specify, I have to supply it with another one. Now the Mayan, I never said Beferush, black on white. I didn't say explicitly that I'm going to be continually supplying with more and more Chamurs, that to each one, the moment each one becomes not so useful or useless, I didn't say it befeirish. It's self-understood, though, that since I didn't specify either way, it said chamur estam, so therefore it's understood that the implicit nature of the deal, the implicit nature of the upmach is, the first one's not usable, I'll supply it with another one. So this is where we're going to say the mazol chagoram kicks in, because although that's true, that it's implicitly understood by chamur estam, that I'll supply it with another one, the first one's not usable, that implicit understanding doesn't exist in a case where you, the soiche, were personally the cause of why it's no longer around. Even if you're unwittingly the cause, it was your mazel that caused it, and we can't fault you for being the cause. Nonetheless, to the extent that the soicher is the cause for why this animal is no longer around and no longer usable, so therefore we're going to say that the maskir could say my obligation to supply chamuris is limited. It ends at this point because I'm not supplying you with another one if you are the cause why my original chamur is not around. So therefore the ravid shita is the mazol chagoram could only work to take away, to limit the obligation that's incumbent on the maskir to resupply with more chamuris. That mazol chagoram could do. The Mazol Chagoram will not say that it's Ke'ilu, the rental existed all the way to the end, and the Chamor was living all the way to the end, and therefore I'm paying the entire rental. That won't do, because I wasn't negligent, and therefore there's no Siba, no reason to say that we'll look upon it Ke'ilu, the guy paying the rental, Ke'ilu actually had the Chamor all the way to the end. Zokt the Mishmeres Moshe. So let's go on and examine another case. We have another case halfway down the Omer Aleph by Al Gemara, Ayin Tas Omer Aleph. Somebody was soicher a chamur and the chamur died. So the halacha is that we sell the nevela and the oyer and we buy another animal which provide that to the renter, or we even paskin that we would even be soicher, we would even use the money from the nevela and the oyer to rent another animal to provide that to the soicher as well. And then it's even by chamur zeh, even if we specified chamur zeh, this donkey, nonetheless, the halacha is that if the donkey dies, then you have to utilize the money you can get from selling the guf, the carcass of the donkey, to provide the soicher with another animal. Zokti mishmeres moisha. Okay, let's ask the basic question, why? Why don't you say mazol chagoram? Why can't the mask you say to the soicher, I think it's your mazol that caused this, you had in your domain, your mazel that caused the animal to die, and says mazel chagoram, you're not entitled to get anything beyond this point. You can't get anything beyond that. It was your mazel that caused it. Why is this different from the previous case of Hivrika? Why over here are we going to say that even though apparently you could tie a mazel chagoram to the soicher, he's still entitled to sell the carcass? Zokt of them, the Mishmeres Moshe, the answer to that is clearly, you can get that based on a careful reading of the tour in Shin Yud Aleph. The tour is in Shin Yud, and the tour brings down a machlekes rishonim about this day of the case of the chamara died halfway through and you're selling the carcass. The tour says, I personally hold that the carcass is absolutely obligated and you must, the maskir must sell off that carcass of the vela and the oyer and pay for the soicha to get another chamara to continue the trip. That's what I hold. Ober, the tour says, I have a diak in Rashi. He's loshen, he makes a diak in Rashi. The Rashi argued on this and Rashi held that be'etzem there's no absolute obligation on the part of the maskir to sell the carcass, sell the nevela, and get the soicher moving weiter on the trip. However, Rashi is mavur that if the maskir wants to get his rental money from the soicher, the dmei haschiris from the soicher, then he's going to have to sell the carcass and enable the soicher to go further by renting a new one, etc. Otherwise, he's going to have to return the rental money to the soicher. That's a very, very big machlokes rishonim. The Torah against Rashi. The Torah Shita, again, is that there's an absolute obligation that's incumbent, even by Chamor Zeh, an absolute obligation incumbent on the Maskir. You have a Chamor, it died, sell it, and get another Chamor to enable the Soicha to go weiter. Zok the Mishmer is Moshe, the Hezbar Advarim is like this. Is the Torah understood that when I say Chamor Zeh, and I spoke out the word Zeh, this Chamor, I didn't just mean this Chamor while it's alive. I meant this Chamor while it's alive and after its death. You're acquiring both matzovim, the alive time and the after death time when you rent it. And consequently, as long as it's alive, you're going to use the chamur, you're going to carry things on it, etc. And even after it dies, the chamur zeh stipulation doesn't end because you still have the chamur zeh. It's no longer alive, it's dead, but this is the chamur zeh. And the main way that Torah learned, it's an absolute given that there's no reason why after death the soicher's rights on it should end. He had rights on it while it was alive, he used it to carry things. He has the same rights on it after it's dead. In order to get his rights out of it, we're going to sell it, and we're going to take this mehaschirus and rent another one, because then all in his mamish nichla on the loshna chamer zeh. That was the shita satur, and zok to the mishmeres moisha, according to that, it's borrowed that nobody could ever suggest anything about mazal chagoram, because mazal chagoram will never work in a case where we explicitly said, chamer zeh, you're getting this chamer, the chamer zeh, and the chamer zeh is not at an end. Even though it's died, it's not at an end, because the zeh is still around, the carcass is still around, and you could sell it, and you can get money out of it, and enable them to go weiter. So, in such a case, does it make a difference whether mazel yes or mazel not? To make a difference, this was the explicit opmach chamur zeh, and your rights don't end. So, that's the shita satur. Rashi, however, had a different understanding of the sugya. Rashi understood that the statement about chamur zeh really does end at the end of the animal's life, and even though it's an avail and a carcass now, which is still a residual from the original, that is not nichon, the original explicit opmach chamur zeh, and therefore the obligation of the maskir is ended. It's now at an end. So the male of the maskir is not mechuyev to go weiter. Now, even though he's not mechuyev to go weiter, there's a chiddush noisif in the sugya, a new chiddush, the way that Rashi learns that the maskir is not obligated to go further, but if he doesn't go further, and he doesn't take this carcass and sell it, etc., to enable the soicher to go further, then he's going to lose his demei aschiris and have to return his demei aschiris. It appears that Rashi held, and this really we should, in accordance with the way we've been learning, we should sell this too. We should draw the parallel to Avni Nez that we mentioned earlier. In other words, Avni Nez spoke of the notion of Dmei Haschiris having an arvus associated with it, and having a lien, like a guarantorship associated with it. And the Hezbollah and Rashi Shita would appear to be along the lines of the Avni Nez, that even though the Maskir doesn't have any personal obligation to go any further because he said Chamur Zeh and the life of the Chamur is at an end, which according to Rashi is the end of the Chamur Zeh, despite that, the Dmei Haschiris that he got out of the Soicher, that the Dmei Haschiris has a lien upon it to enable the Soicher to do whatever, the Soicher could elicit whatever he possibly can out of this Chamur to be able to extend his trip. And in Meila, if you don't allow him to do that, and you don't allow him to sell the Guf of the Chamur, the carcass, in order to be able to go further and get another Chamur and extend the trip, then you're going to lose the Dmei Haschiris, because the Dmei Haschiris had that Shibud upon it, that Ore status upon it, that it's Meshubud to enabling the Soicher to do what he can, to get out of this chamur, the enabler, to go further and to finish to the end of the trip. All of the above is the Mishmeres Moishe's Hezber, his understanding of the Rishonim and the Sugya. The Evan Yisroel on Rambam for Bistrol Yanka Fisher of the Yishalayim Zuchon Levrocha has a fundamentally different understanding of the Machlokes Rishonim here, and it's important and worth saying it over because he goes into a Yisoy that's a recurring idea and is discussed by Achroinim in a couple of different places on today's Daf, on Daf Ayin Tes. The Evan Yisroel says like this: what is, again to repeat the question, the Machlokes Rishonim between the Rambam and the Raiv in a case where you rented that animal and the animal was sivrika, so it's partially blind and you can't get the full use out of it like you wanted or like expecting to get out of it, and you're not entitled to get another chamor, even if it was a chamor stam, you can't get another one, but there's a machloket rishonim if you have to pay the rental from here on and in. The opinion of the ravid is a component of the rent you don't have to pay from here on and in because you're not getting the full service that you wanted. It's a hivrika animal. Now, saying in the Rambam held that even though you're not getting what you wanted and expecting to get from here on and in, nonetheless, you have to pay the full amount of the rental. As the Evan Yisroel learns that the machloket rishonim here is based upon a very, very fundamental question. And this is a basic question that discussed in Achrayim and really Rishayim in a number of Mekaymas. Imagine for a moment that I rent an animal, or whatever exactly the case may be, I rent an animal, I rent it for a unit amount of time for 30 days, or whatever it is exactly, till the end of a trip. Let's say it's an amount of days, I rent it for 30 days. So then I use it for 30 days, like I use it for 30 days, and I pay the rental for the 30 days. What's the lomdish understanding of this payment? How do you understand that? Do you say that when I pay the rental money, that's a payment for the hishtamshus, for the shimush that I utilized? I got 30 days of use out of it, so I'm paying for 30 days of shimush, because that's what the renter does. He pays for the days of the shimush. That's one hezbir. Or do I say that every schirus is, so to speak, like a kenil man, and there are gemara that appear to indicate such a thing, and the idea would be that if I buy something, a kenil man, for 30 days, so I'm paying for having purchased it. You know, you buy an animal, and the animal dies after you bought it, you're not entitled to your money back, right? I mean, unless it was a lemon, you're not entitled to your money back, because what happens subsequent to the purchase is your problem. You purchased it, and at the time when you purchased it, you got the full amount of the usage. Likewise, a person buys a entity for his man. I buy a gemara, I buy a chayfet for his man for a period of time. I buy it for 30 days, and it gets destroyed or dies in the middle of the time. There's a strong swara to argue that I'm not entitled to get any money back whatsoever, because the money that I paid is not being paid for the amount of the shimush, but rather it was a kinyan like any other kinyan. At the time of the kinyan was made, the thing was in existence and had that asidus to last for X amount of time, and therefore it's payment money. You pay the May Kenyan, and consequently you pay the May Kenyan, you get the entity for a certain amount of time. If it dies in the middle, that's your problem, and you have no demand and no way to entitle to Teveya to get any money back. Zok, the Evan Yisroel, and the other Achronim work like this, and other Mekhemis as well here, that we have a fundamental shayla about understanding what does it mean when a person rents something for X amount of time and pays the rental money. Is he paying the rental money because he got the shimush for X amount of time for all of those days, and he's paying for the shimush, or is it real like a kinyan on the shimush lizman, and he pays it meikara from the get-go? That payment is for, at the get-go, you bought 2 weeks worth of shimush, you bought 30 days worth of shimush, and in return of having bought 30 days worth of shimush, you paid it like any payment money, like any acquisition money, like any kinyan. And if you learn the second way, then what happens in the middle is not going to be able to impact on whether you're obligated to pay the entirety of the payment money for the rental. You have to pay the whole payment money of the rental, because at the time of the acquisition, when the kinyan was done on the shimush, at that time it existed, it was a perfectly good thing with a 2 weeks worth of shimush ahead of itself, and you have to pay for that. And you pay, and it goes by what it looked like and the tzura that it had b'shas the kinyan. We don't care what happens later on, which is subsequent and after the payment, and can alter the din payment. Dr. Evan Yisrael, that's machlokes Rambam and Raavad in our Gemara. At the time when the person rented the animal, he was a soichi, rented the animal, it was a very good, perfectly healthy animal, and a meila, at that time, you rented it for X amount of time to get to the end of the trip, etc., so you agreed to a certain amount of rental payment money. According to the Shitas HaRaiv, the gather of a rental money is you pay for the shimush, you pay for the usage, and a meila, if you didn't get the full amount of usage, because halfway through it turned into a hevrika, which you can no longer get a normal use, now it's partly blind, so therefore you didn't get the full amount of the shimush, you don't have to pay the full amount of the rental. That's the Shitas HaRaiv. Mashing, the Rambam goes to the other sheet. The Rambam holds a person rents. He's not paying for the shimush because I got 30 days worth of shimush, I'm paying for those 30 days. No, the pshat is it's a purchase like any other purchase. Like if a person would buy a timeshare in a bungalow or something, so it's like any acquisition. You don't look at the end in terms of whether I got the whole thing. You say, this is a purchase. I'm making a purchase at the get-go, and the melee, I pay for the purchase. So whatever the purchase price is, it doesn't make a difference what happens after the purchase. Who wasn't over here when you rented? Hey, you always said at the time of the so-called purchase, when you purchased the shimush for X amount of time, at that time it was a perfectly good and usable animal, so therefore you mechuyev the entirety of the rental based upon the kinyan made in the shimush from the get-go, regardless of if the shimush gets impaired or not really usable later on. That is the Evan Yisrael Hezber in the Machloikis, the Rambam and the Raavad. This question about how to look upon rental money is a fundamental shaila in different achroinim, which does pop up in different places. There's an important kovet ha'oris, which happens to be in Yevamos and Siman Nun Gimel, that he discusses a very, very similar hakir, really the same hakir, to explain a machlekes rishayinim later on in Bar Metzia and Daf Kuf Gimel. Over there, there was a case of a person who rented a house for X amount of time. He rented the house for a year, and he said, bayis zeh, that's the case of the Gemara, this house, and the house fell in the middle. So the Gemara says that if you said bayis zeh, and you specified which house, it wasn't just any house bayis tam, but rather bayis zeh, it falls in the middle, you have no claim whatsoever upon the maskir, he should ply with another house. Why should he? He said, Bayezeh, and there was this specific house, and the house rents, and you have no recourse. On that, the Ritva over there brings down a big machlokes rishayim, granted that the soicher, the renter, has no recourse. Aber, is he mechuyev to pay the rental money, the full rental money, till the end of the year, even though the house fell in the middle, or not? The Ritva brings down that his opinion of his rabbi, of his rebbe, which is the rebbe of the Ra'ah, learned that not only is a soicher stuck here and can't get another house out of the maskir to the end of the year, but even chayav hasoicher lefroya demei haschirus, you have to pay the entire rental money to the end of the year. And actually, the lashon of the Ra'ah over there is brought into the Ritva. You know why you have to pay the whole thing? Because it's kilekech bias v'nofel koynah sheyifra adam. If you hear the comparison that the mashal that the Ra'ah made, the rabbi of the Ritva, he says it would be the same thing like a person bought a house. We agreed it's going to be a couple of $100,000. I'm buying this house and we make a kenyan on it. And before I actually give you the money, the house falls down. Zokter Ra'ah avada the halacha is going to be you're mechuyev to pay the whole money, because since the time of the purchase, the house was perfectly good, it was standing and everything. So even though it fell before I paid you, still mechuyev to pay the whole thing. And the Ra'ah makes that comparison and he uses it to compare to the guy who made a schiris on a house and in the middle of the year it fell down. That's the Ra'ah. On that, the Ritva brings Aval Rambanzal Kosa. The Ramban disagreed, and the Ramban said, Avada, Dr. Ramban, that if the house falls midway through the year, I'm certainly not mechuyev to pay the rental money from here until the end of the year. Dr. Abuchon de Klevitz Ha'oris, what's the mechuykes we shine him over here? So he says exactly the same thing that the Evan Yisrael says to explain our mechuykes we shine him. And Bamas had similar cases. The Klevitz Ha'oris says that the Ra'ah Shita is that we look upon every rental as a kinyanless man on the Shimush. That's what it is. You're making a kinyan the same way I buy a timeshare on a house, in which case I'm actually owning the house for a certain unit of time. The same way I could buy a timeshare on the shimush of a house, which is what a rental is. I'm not owning the house, but I'm owning the hishtamshus of the house that you rented. You own the hishtamshus of the house for X amount of time, for a year in this case. Since you're making a purchase on the hishtamshus of the house, the Ra'ah perfectly accurately and correctly compares that to a case of someone who would mamash buy the house and it fell down before he paid. And shavadi mechuyev to pay because at the time of the purchase of the house, it was a good house. Likewise, over here, at the time of the purchase of the house, you had a perfectly good house, legabe shimush for the next year. You bought it, you have to pay for the whole thing, even though the shimush of the thing comes bottled in the middle because the house fell down. Masha in case of the Bechon of the Ramban, Shita is Ramban held that when a person pays rental money on a house, what that person is paying for, Zok the Bechon, what he's paying for is the Hishtamshus. He got X amount of Hishtamshus, he pays for X amount of Hishtamshus. So we have to look at how much actual usage you actually got out of it. If you only got 6 months worth of usage, you're not going to pay the full 12 months of the whole year. Because the Ramban holds that the geder of a rental is you're paying for the stamshus in a pay-as-you-go manner. As much as stamshus as you got, that's how much you pay. And Bamis that Rabbi Chana says it over there, very similar case and very similar fundamental tutsdotim as that which the Evan Yisroel finds in the machloikis between the Rambam and the Ravid over here. On the bottom of the Amud, the Gemara brings a case of somebody who rents a Sfina, Soicher as a Sfina, and the Sfina sank halfway through. Tavolo be'emtza ha'derech. So it sank, and now you had wine on the Sfina, the Soicher's merchandise was there, the wine is gone, the Sfina is gone, and the Gemara brings different cases. So one thing that the Gemara says is that in a case of Sfina stam, v'yayenzeh, which is to say that I stipulated when I rented, when I'm the Soicher, I stipulated that this yayenzeh, this specific wine, is going to be the cargo on the Sfina. You, the masker, however, did not stipulate which Sfina. You just said Sfina Stam, you'll be supplying a Sfina. So over there, the halacha is, the Gemara says, that the masker is entitled to elicit the full amount of the rental from the soicher, even though the thing sank halfway through, and he's not going to be able to actually get anything out of this thing, his wine is in the bottom of the river. Nonetheless, the soicher get the full amount. Why? Because the soicher kataina that you, if you'll be able to supply me with the wine cargo, which is now in the bottom of the sea, if you'll be able to of the wine cargo, I have no problem whatsoever supplying with another Sfina, because I never made any obligation on myself to which Sfina it was going to be, so I'm the one holding the cards, the Baal HaSfina says. I have a perfect ability to supply with another Sfina. You are the one creating the problem. You can't finish the deal, because since you have stipulated Yayin Zeh, you have an inability to provide me with that wine anymore, so therefore, the Baal HaSfina is entitled to get the entirety of the money. That's what the Gemara says. Taisis over there asks a Kasha. Taisis asks, Frek Taisis, is, we know we had a din earlier in the Perek that let's say I hired poil, or I hired workers for the day, and they're to water my field, and then the rain comes and water the field all by itself, so I no longer have any need for the workers. And the halacha over there is, then it's say that the poil and the workers are going to lose out. Zokta the toisis, the mashmois hasugya earlier is, that's true about any oines which would occur to the balabayas, to the employer, whatever the oines would happen to be, if he's nenas and can no longer use those workers, he does not have to pay the workers and say to the poil. And that's the mashmois of the Gemara. In fact, toisis, isn't that a serious hasugya? What is the difference between the two cases? Just like over here, the bal hasfina, the boat owner, is entitled to say that my boat is available, like I said, the svina stam, and I'm perfectly available to supply with boats, and if you, the Yayin guy is unable to supply the wine, then you are going to have to pay the full amount of the schiras. So if that's the case, he should do the same thing by the workers. The worker could say, listen, I'm standing here, I'm perfectly able and willing to do some work. If you are unable to supply me with work, because your field is already fully watered or whatever onus occurred, if you can't supply it, I'm available and therefore you should have to pay me. What is the difference between the two cases? That's Toisis. The Toisis brings in a teretz from the Rivon that said like this. And fundamentally speaking, the Richtige Din is exactly what you find by the Poelim, and that should have theoretically applied over here, that if I'm an onus and I can no longer make use of your work, the balabayas can't make use of the poilum's work, therefore the balabayas does not have to pay to the end of the day. And the same should have been true over here, that the bal hayayin is an onus and has no need for the bal hasfina's abilities, the ability to supply me a new boat. I don't need you, I can't supply me with the yayin's anymore. And fundamentally the din should have been that the bal hayayin is putter. However, it says to the Rivon that vi bal, that the maskir lost his boat is on the bottom of the river, so since he took a hit, the Maskir took a loss because his boat is gone, so that changes everything, and therefore it requires the Bal Hayayin to pay up to the end of the day. That's the Rivon's teretz. It's really a very, very sosendik and shveret teretz, and the Chazanish points that, and the face of it has no muvan. I mean, if you're telling me fundamentally that we find a principle, or you saw it by the case of the poilim, that even though the poil is standing ready, able, and willing to do more work to the end of the day, but I have an oines, the employer has an oines, and can't use him, he doesn't have to pay him. So that's what you should say over here. The Bala Svina is ready, able, and willing to supply a Svina to the end of the trip, but I, the Bala Yain, have no need for him, so therefore I shouldn't have to pay him. That should be the din. Why in the world is it going to change just because of the fact that the Bala Svina took a loss? It seems totally irrelevant to the Bal Hayayin. It's Lachar, not his problem that the Bala Svina took a loss. He's not going to pay for the fact that the Bala Svina took a loss. It was an act of the Almighty, you know, a tornado came and ruined the Svina. It's not that it's the Seicher is Mechuyev to pay for the Svina. He has no din to pay for it. So then why is he Mechuyev to pay to the end of the trip? Whatever amount of money that is, paid to the end of the trip, just because the Bala Svina took a loss, which seems like a completely irrelevant point. That is the Chazanish's Kasha. So Chazanish says a Chiddush like a Teretz on this point. So the Chazanish, everyone knows the Maskir and the Seicher, when you're renting a ship, he says that the Yamim are always Becheska Sakona. You never really know. The sea could have a sudden wind, it could have a sudden storm, it could have something, anything could happen, it could sink the boat. And therefore, there's a certain amount of risk, obviously, that the Maskir of a Sfina always takes on whenever he rents out a boat. So the Chazanish, Avada, you understand, like they have all the Klolim coming up in Bab Metzia, that if he's just a Seicher, he's not Mechuyev to pay for Einsim, he's not Mechuyev to pay for things that are out of his control. So therefore, if this boat sinks in the middle in a way that wasn't Oynes, Havada, the Soich has not have to pay that. But, even though that's true, that he's Potter on Oynesim, but when they make up the amount of the Dmei HaSchiras, I'm paying you X amount of Schiras for this trip, to the end of the trip, so I'm Meshabed in that number of the Dmei HaSchiras, that it has two roles. Number one, it pays for the actual rental if I got the Shemesh all the way to the end of the trip. That's one thing. And number two is that if I don't get to the end of the trip, it's up to the amount of the value that we spoke that as the Measchirus, I'm a Kabel Achrayas Hasfino, says the Chazanish. I'm a Kabel myself the Achrayas to pay for the ship up until the amount that the rental money that we stipulated. Beyond that amount, I'm not Mekabel Achrayas Hasfino, I'm just a Seicher, I'm not a Shoyl or anything. But up until that amount, I said the rental money is going to be $500, the amount of the rental. So that has two roles. In addition to being rental money for the entirety of the trip, even if I don't finish the trip, it's going to be a obligation I accept upon myself for the Achrayas Hasfina. Since the Hasfina is now on the bottom of the sea, that's what Rivon meant. The Hasfina is on the bottom of the sea, so therefore, I actually was Mekabel an independent Achrayas Hasfina up until the amount, the value of the Dmei HaSechira. Even though that principle of the Chazon Ish is true, it's still only applicable in a case of Sfina Stam and not in a case of Sfina Zu. Really, according to the Chazon Ish, you could ask why in the world that ought to be so. Theoretically, L'chayr, if the Chazon Ish is right, and I'm a Kabbal and a Chayas HaSfina up until the amount of the Dmei HaSechira, so what's the difference between Sfina Stam and Sfina Zu? And why does the Gemara say that only by Sfina Stam do I have to pay it? However, the reality is, the truth is that Tois himself affirms this at the beginning of the Tois over here. If you look in the Tosis, Tosis says that the function of having that it was a Sfina Stam and a Yayin Zeh is that it enables the Maskir to say to the Soicher that Mazel HaGorim. This brings us back to the same principle of Mazel HaGorim. Thus says that V-Belt, that I, the Maskir, am able to continue this further. I have another boat out there and we said Sfina Stam and I can keep going. You're the one that can keep going because you said Yayin Zeh. That's a demonstration that Min HaShemayim, this the occurrence, the mishap that occurred, was the mazel of the soicher. And apparently, here's another example of how we're being kiveh, we're determining the obligation of each party based upon mazel hagoram. Thus says, upon him, according to the Chazon Ish's framework, the way he sets it up, the soicher is mekabel upon himself achreis hasfina of vivait, that at least he was the cause of what happened through his mazel. And by the case of sfina stam, and yayin zeh, that's what Tosfos says, that we say mazel hagoram, and that's what we say, that it was caused by the mazel of the soicher. The Baal HaYayin. As you could see, the way the Chazon Ish is explaining the Tosfos is obviously a very mechudosh d'gederech, and not all Rishonim agree with this. The Ritva over here has a very different answer to Tosfos' question. Again, Tosfos asked that by the case of the Poelim, we find that if the Baal HaBayis, the employer, has a ones of some kind and can't continue the employment of the Poelim to the end of the day, the Baal HaBayis doesn't pay the Poelim at all. So why is it that over here, the Baal HaYayin has an ones and can't employ the Sfina, the Baal HaSfina, to the end of the trip, so why does he pay to the end? And the Ritva has a very different teretz. He answers it simply a question of how strong the achrayas and responsibilities of the parties were in each case. It says, Zok the Ritva, by the case of the employer earlier in the parak, the case was that the employer only hired these workers b'dibor be'alma. Dibor be'alma, it was words alone. So there's a weaker responsibility that you take upon yourself, and you don't take any responsibility to the point that you'll be nenas and mikan v'holo, you have no responsibility, no obligation. Masha'enken, in any case, Zokter, in which there was some sort of a Maisa Kenyan, so then, and over here, presumably it seems that Ritva understood that the taking the boat to begin the trip is considered to be a Maisa Kenyan, so you did a Maisa Kenyan to obligate yourself and obligate the parties and their responsibilities to each other. So over here, since there was a Maisa Kenyan, so consequently, the obligation responsibility of the Baal HaYayin and the Soicher is greater, and therefore, even his Mechuyev, even if his wine gets lost to the bottom of the sea, can't go further, FLP Kane, he's still going to pay the rental to the end. And the Ritva Taka speaks out, that Alpi Darki, according to me, Zok the Ritva, it's going to also follow, that the same thing is true, Benegir, to a Baal HaBayis, who hired workers, and they made a Kenyan, that they're going to be responsible to one another, Umosha Chadover, they made some sort of a Kenyan in the Kalim, that the worker's going to be using, and over there, the Baal HaBayis took upon himself a strong obligation, a stark responsibility because there was a Maisa Kenyan. So the Enochanami says the Ritva, according to my understanding, the din of Adir will be the same as here. And Meila, even the Baal HaBayis gets an oinus and can't employ the workers to the end of the time period, we still would say that the Baal HaBayis can have to pay all the way until the end of the time period, similar to the case of the here of the Yayin. The Machne Ephraim and Hilchos Schiris points out that the Rabban of Tshuva, which is quoted by the Beis Yosef and Chosh Mishpat Shimon Lan Hei, likewise also argues on the place over here. And the Rabban gives a case over there of a person, the whole tshuva, the scenario of Maisa Shehoyah and the Rashba, of someone who hired a meshoris, an attendant, to serve him for the next year, and the employer dies in the middle of the year, and the question is whether the attendant could be tevea from the estate, that he wants to get paid for the entirety of the whole year. The attendant is tining, I'm here, I'm available, I can go to the end of the year. There's an onus that occurred to my employer, which is that he died, and therefore he can get my work out of me, I'm available. And the Rashba taka paskins al pidarkoi, the Rashba says that the psak of that case is going to be derived from our sugya by Sfina Stam v'yayin zeh, just like over here by Sfina Stam v'yayin zeh. So the Baal HaSfina is saying, I'm available impossible to supply with more boats. You, the Bal HaYayin, can't go any further because your yayin is now gone. But since I'm available, I'm entitled to be paid to the end of the trip. So to Rasbo, in like manner over there, the Meshor is entitled to get the money, all the money for the entire year, since he's available. It's like a Sina Stam. It's just that the employer is not available. So you see, the Rasbo also was learning, not like Toisis, and not like the way Toisis learns up a Chiddush, a whole Chiddush de Kederich, that it's only specifically in the case over here because there's a Sina which I took a loss on at the bottom of the river, and that's why I could list some money out of you. The Rasbo, clearly there's no loss. The employee is perfectly fine and well, and he didn't take any loss in his own goof at all. Alpha P. Kane, the Rasbo makes the dimin, and he still says that they're not like Toisis, as he says that the worker is entitled to demand the entire year's worth of salary because he's still available, just like by Svina Stam the Ayin.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.